I want to give you a message today that may be familiar. It is familiar to many people. But I want to start out today by simply saying this. All throughout the Word of God, all throughout the Bible, we read about God's great love for His chosen people, the people of Israel. If you turn over to the book of Deuteronomy just a moment, Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want you to see this, and I'll get to my key verse a little later here. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 32, the Bible said this, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there have been any such thing as this great thing is, or had been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, or a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto you, or unto thee, it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God." Amen. Is that not something great? The Lord, He is God. "There is none else beside Him. Out of heaven, He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee. And upon earth, He showed thee His great fire. And thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. And because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt." Wow, what a God. Amen. What a God. Moses reminded the children of Israel also in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Turn over just a few more pages to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I want us to look at verses 1 through 8. And there he tells them, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you." Think about that today, folks. Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then God went on to further remind them in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 5, of how when the enemies of God and the enemies of the people of God attempted to persuade Balaam. You remember Balaam? the son of Beor. They tried to get Balaam to betray the people of God and to cause the wrath of God to come down upon them. And God said here in this verse 5, "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." Amen. Boy, the people of Israel are loved by God. Amen. God cares for them. He wants them to know that today. Now turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. And in Isaiah chapter number 43, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Here the Bible tells us, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee." You know, the prophet Jeremiah also wrote of God's love for his people. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, he reminded them, saying, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And perhaps one of the greatest declarations of God's love, not only for the people of Israel, but for every person living upon the face of this earth, not only for the chosen people, the Jews, but also for the heathen, the Gentile dogs, those that did not know God, did not want to know God, those that had turned away from God. In the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Lord Jesus himself spoke to a certain religious ruler by night, and he shared with him of how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And folks, there is no doubt in my mind today. There is no doubt whatsoever that our God is a God of love and faithful devotion. Amen. He is a faithful God, not only to his chosen people, the Jews, but to also the people everywhere, whether they be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, rich or poor, religious or non-religious. The Bible tells us that it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. And I just want today to share with you four simple thoughts or reminders of God's great love for sinful men. I've entitled the message today, "Reminders of God's Great Love." I think you and I need to be reminded of some things today. And I think our world needs to be reminded, with all the hatred and all that's going on all around us, attempted assassinations of those in political parties, all kinds of things going on. Our world's in a mess. And what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they will never know what God has done for them until some of you and I that know him will be able to share that message with them. So today I want to share with you some reminders of God's great love. Let's pray and then we'll have the message. Father, I need your help this morning. Lord, I need your strength to be able to stand and to be able to declare the message of what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you will remove from my mind and my thoughts anything that you do not want me to say. But God, let the words of my mouth be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. Let it be acceptable to you today. And Lord, if there be someone today that's here that's not saved, I pray, O God, that you would speak to their hearts and help them, Lord, to see the need that they have in their heart for a Savior that loves them. And I pray, dear God, tonight that you will help us as born-again believers to never forget just how much you've done for us and the job that you have given unto us to reach our lost world with the gospel before it's eternally too late for those that are lost. Please now, Lord, take the message and use it for your honor and glory. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn with me this morning to that passage of John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I want you to take some notes today about what this verse is all about, this passage of Scripture is all about. We often refer to these passages of Scripture as children's Bible verses. But you know what? It is as children, by faith, that we come to know Christ as our Savior. The faith of a child. We come to know Him as our Savior. And here in these two verses, Jesus Himself spoke these words. And He tried to tell the religious Jewish leader of that land, Nicodemus. You'll remember the story. He came to him by night. And he wanted to know what Jesus was all about. And he tried to lift Jesus up and exalt him, but Jesus just cut through all the hip and hooray. And he just told him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot be born again unless he knows Christ as his Savior. And folks, here, he looked at Nicodemus and he said, I want you to understand something. He said it was God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That word perish means to die without hope, eternally separated from God in an awful place called hell, that he should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why did he say that? Because sin had already condemned us, folks. Sin had already condemned us. The law found us guilty. The law saw us deserving of separation from God. Sin had already condemned us. But Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He said, for the Son of God has not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I want to share with you this morning just four simple thoughts. Four simple thoughts or reminders about God's great love for sinful men everywhere. Everywhere. All across this nation, all across our globe today, folks need to know of the love of God. First of all, I want us to see and consider the fact that it was God's choice to love sinful man. God chose to love us. Amen? When I got married, I chose to love my wife. She's been the best wife I've ever had. She's the only wife I've ever had, but she's still the best one. But I made a choice to love her. She made a choice to love me, stinky feet and all. She loves me today. But greater than that, God chose to love sinful men. I want you to look at the first six words of the verse, John 3:16. Look at what it said. For God so loved the world. You know, that number six in the Bible represents man. It represents man's shortcomings, from the holiness of Almighty God. And isn't it interesting to see the fact that God would so willingly choose to love those who had chosen not to love or to honor or to show any true respect to Him or to His Word, let alone for the God that had given man his very life? God breathed into us eternal life. We're going to live forever somewhere, folks, either with God in heaven or separated from Him in an awful place called hell. God wanted us to be with Him. And it was God who first chose to love man. It was God who first chose to have fellowship with man there in the Garden of Eden. He chose to walk with Adam and his wife in the cool of the day and fellowship with his creation. But guess what? Sin separated man from God. Sin separated us. It was God who showed enough love and concern for the man that he had created to look down upon him one day and say, "It is not good. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him, worthy of him, that would satisfy his needs." It was God's great love for that man that God chose to take a rib out of that man. I often kid my wife and say, "That must have been a spare rib." She says, "No, baby, that was prime rib." But regardless of what it was, God took a rib out of that man. And out of that rib, He created a woman. One that would love her husband. And one that He could love in return. And God blessed them in that garden. It was God who had chosen to love man after man chose to disobey God. If you'll remember, God told him not to eat of that fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told him, he said, "Everything here is yours. You have been given dominion over it all." But God gave man the test, and man failed the test. And he chose to disobey God. And what did man do when he disobeyed God? He tried to hide himself from God. That's why people stay out of church today. They hide themselves from God. "Boy, if I go to church, God's going to try to speak to my heart and make me see that I'm a sinner and want me to get saved." Yeah, that's because He loves you today. Amen? Man tried to hide himself. So what did man in his great wisdom do? He plucked fig leaves off of a fig tree, sewed them together, and tried to make himself look like a bush and hide in the garden from the presence of God. Let me ask you today, where can you go to hide from God? Where can you go? There's no place that you can hide from God. And when man was trying to figure out what he's going to do because he realizes he's a sinner, he realizes now he's standing naked before the creator of the universe, and he's trying to hide the fact that he has disobeyed God. What does God do? God did as He always did. He came walking there in the cool of the day, and He calls out for Adam because Adam is not where he usually is. And He says, "Adam, wherefore art thou? Where art thou, Adam?" And He didn't do that because He didn't know where Adam was. He did that because He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. In need of a Savior. In need of a God that would love him. And there, it was God who took away the self-made righteousness of Adam and Eve's fig leaf aprons. And it was God who loved them enough to make the way possible for them to be able to stand in the presence of God. It was God who took an innocent animal and slew it, killed it, shed its blood, and covered Adam and Eve in those skins to remind them of their sin and to let them know, "Listen, I've made the way for you to stand before me today." It was God who loved Adam and Eve enough to thrust them out of the Garden of Eden. You say, if God loved them, why did he put them out of their home? Why did he cast them out like that? Why did he put an angel there to guard the tree in the midst of the garden so that they wouldn't come and eat it? Because God did not want them eating that fruit and forever living in their sin, separated from God. That's because God loved them and God cared for them. It was God who would choose Adam's falling race enough to set aside his garments of holiness in heaven and come to this earth in the form of a man so that he might pay the price for your sins and for mine, and that we might be able to have redemption through God's own dear Son. It was God who chose to love us. It was God's choice to love sinful man long before sinful man ever chose to love God in heaven. No wonder the Apostle John would write in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Amen? We are able to love him because he first loved us. And the whole, how sad it is to consider the words of John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, where the Holy Spirit of God directed John to write these words, speaking of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He wrote these words. He said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But man, what a blessing it is to know that in spite of our sin and in spite of our rejection of the Savior sent to us from God himself, that God would have John write in that same chapter, beginning in verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, amen for that day, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen? But of God. And I'm so glad it was God's choice to love sinful man, even when sinful man had chosen not to love God. I'm glad that he chose to love me. Aren't you glad he chose to love you today? Man, for God so loved the world. And that was you and me. But not only was it God's choice to love sinful man, but in this same verse, we also see that it was God's gift to sinful man. It was a gift that God was willing to give. Look what it said. Look at the second part of the verse, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, it was not only God's choice to love sinful man, but the greatness of God's love and his choice to love was emphasized through the greatness of the gift that he gave, his only begotten Son. God gave his best for you and for me. God gave his all for you and for me. And the Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he sent his Son to be the propitiation. That's a big word, but it basically means he sent his Son to satisfy all the requirements of the law to make you and me righteous in his eyes. God did that for us. Why? Because he chose to love us. And because he chose to love us, he chose to give us the gift of salvation through his own dear Son. And what a great gift our God gave us to all who are willing to come unto him and receive that great gift of love. I've said this many times before, but I believe it is worth saying again. There are two important things about a gift. Number one, a gift is something that someone gives to another person because they love them. Because they love them. Listen, if you love your wife, husbands, ladies, if you love your husband, when the birthday comes around, when Christmas comes around, you go out and search for something that you can give unto the one that you love because you love them enough to do it. You give them that gift. But number two, you pay the price of that gift. Listen, if I gave my wife a nice new dress and she said, "Oh, it looks so good." And I said, "It sure does. Do you like it?" "Oh, I love it." "Oh, I'm glad you like it. How much do you like it?" "Oh, honey, I really like it. Do you like it enough to give me a hug?" "Oh, yes." And she hugged me. And I said, "Well, that's good because in 30 days you get the bill." She wouldn't be loving me anymore. And she wouldn't want that gift. It wouldn't be a gift. Because it wasn't given in love enough to pay for it in full. And you see, the Bible said, "For when we were yet without strength." When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, we deserved nothing good from God. We deserved nothing from God except His wrath upon us for our sin. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Why did He do that? Because the wages of sin is death, separation from God. And God didn't want us to be separated. Why would God do such a thing? Because He loved us. He chose to love us, and He chose to give us His gift of eternal life through His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 details this great gift of love by reminding us as born-again believers. He said, "And you hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Think about it, folks. We didn't deserve anything from God. Were it not for God's great gift of love, having been given unto sinful man, we would all be doomed for hell today. Every one of us. But thank God for the verses that follow. Listen to what He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. "But God," I love that, "but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Oh, hallelujah for God's choice. Not only to love us, but to give us His greatest gift, and that being of salvation to sinful men. But then thirdly, I want you to see this, God's promise of eternal everlasting life to whosoever would receive it. Think about this morning, folks. Today, you are looking at Edward Ray, shut. Aren't you excited? Let me tell you why I'm excited. Because I am a whosoever. Yeah, man. And you know what? You are a whosoever today. Amen. And the Bible said here that as a whosoever, I've gotten a promise from God Himself that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Aren't you glad to be a whosoever today? Man, thank God for that fact. In other words, if I will choose to believe that God has chosen to love me in spite of my sin, and that God chose to willingly pay the debt that I owed for my sin, and give His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, to suffer what I should have suffered, to endure the agony of my sins, to have His Father's face turned away from Him because my sins were laid upon Him. Your sins were laid upon Him. I can't believe that God would give me that opportunity to know Him as my Savior. He has given you that opportunity. That's why He's brought you here today. You don't know how many days you have left to live. None of us do. Today could be the day that somebody is sitting here today and you have turned the Lord away. Oh, you're religious. You're good. You treat other people right. And that's a great thing. But folks, let me remind you, that will not get you into the streets of gold in heaven. That will not get you through the gates of heaven. You must be born again. And the Bible said here that Jesus went on to say in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Amen. You know what? When you place your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, you are no longer condemned by sin or by the law. God has redeemed you. He has cleaned you. He has saved your soul. You're no longer condemned. Look at what He said. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not." You say, "Well, I'm just going to try the best I can try." He that believeth not, you're condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And look at what else John wrote there in John 3:36. That same chapter, go down to verse 36. He said, "He that believeth on the Son hath," that's present tense, it never changes, "hath everlasting life." And folks, Paul the apostle wrote in the last part of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What a great God. Amen. What a great gift. And what a great promise that the Lord God would give unto us. But folks, a promise is not kept, or it has no intention of being kept, if it's not given with the intentions of keeping it. You see, God didn't make a random promise and didn't intend to keep it. God chose to keep His promise to you and to me. Listen, if you go to work on Monday and you work that 40 hours that you're required to work to get paid at the end of that week, come Friday, you're going to be looking forward to the proof of the promise that your boss has given to you. If you'll work this amount of hours, I'll pay you this amount of money. And if you don't get that check at the end of the week, you're going to be upset. Most of you'd be upset, would you not? I would be. Man, I worked hard. Man, I labored. I want to get that paycheck. I need it. Got to buy my dog some dog food. Got to get it. But you know what? This is what makes God's choice to love sinful man. This is what makes God's choice to give unto him the gift of eternal life. Such a blessing. It makes it that promise so special. Why? Look at it. The last part. God's proof that he will do what he said he will do. God gives proof in the Word of God. I want you to turn over to the book of John chapter 5 just a moment. Look at John chapter 5 verse number 24. And let's see what Jesus promised here unto those who believe his word and accept his promise. Look at what he said. He said, verily, verily. That means truly, truly. Without a doubt. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life. Amen. And, oh, it makes it even better. Look at this. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. That's what the proof is today. We have been passed from death and separation from God unto life, eternal with him in the heavens. Turn with me now to John chapter 6, verse 37. Look at this. Man, this will get you good. Jesus said this. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, but could God ever love somebody like me? Could God ever forgive me for the sin that I've committed in my life? You just don't know, preacher, what I've done in my life. I don't need to know. God knows. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen? And Jesus said, if you'll come unto me, I'll not cast you out. You're mine. Go down to verse 47 in that same chapter. John chapter 6, verse 47. Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Amen. These are the promises that our Lord God has given unto all those who place their faith and trust in him as their own personal Savior. But you say, but preacher, where's the proof of those promises? I want to see proof that those promises are real. I want to see the proof. We'll turn back over to the book of 1 John. 1 John, near the back of your Bible. 1 John, chapter 4. And I want you to see this. Boy, if this doesn't bless your heart, you need to get a quick start and charge it up. Look what the Bible said. Look, here the Bible says God's proof. It shows us God's proof of his promises. Look what it said. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby, or by this, know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already is it in the world. Folks, that spirit is here today. Antichrist. You can talk about anybody else you want to talk about, but don't you mention the name of Jesus. Boy, you're in a heap of trouble then. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You see, God's proof of what he said that he would do in our lives when we accept him as our Savior, that proof is found when it is manifested in the love of God that is now displayed in our lives toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as through those who need to come to know Christ as their Savior. Why do we run the buses on Sunday morning and pick up kids that can't contribute anything except trouble and flush toilet paper all down the commode and say, watch it go, and just get excited about things like that? Why do we go out and try to deliver food to folks and try to give them the bread of life when we go to them? Why do we run all the different ministries that we try to run here at this church and reach people with the message of the gospel? Let me tell you why. It's because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And now we want to go and love somebody else so that they can come to know Christ in their hearts as their Savior. We love God because he first loved us. And folks, if we love God as God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We don't have hatred for anybody else. We don't have hatred for the sinners. Listen, we don't like what they do because of their sin, but what they do is because they're a sinner. You and I did the same things before we got saved, and yet God loved us. And we ought also to love them. John goes on to say in 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Let me ask you today, do you have the witness of the Spirit of God in your life today? If you don't, you better check up. There's something wrong. John said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. This is the proof. This is the evidence that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Listen, the witness, the sweet Holy Spirit of God that dwells in your heart and life, since you've accepted Christ as your Savior, he wants to make himself manifest in your life, before the eyes of others around us. Listen, you know what? When I got saved, I wanted to come to church on Sunday morning. I remember I was in the Boy Scouts, and they did campouts and all this other mess on the weekends and stuff like that. And when I got saved, I told them, I said, I can't do this anymore. Well, you're going to either be a Boy Scout or you can be whatever. You know what? I chose to love the Lord and go to church. And to learn, to go to Sunday school where somebody loved me and cared for my soul. And folks, you know what? He put a desire in my heart to share that same love with others around me. And folks, today God wants us to show forth the witness of Christ living within us. When God saved me, He gave me a dose of the can't help it. I just can't help but want to tell somebody about Jesus today. I love them. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I want them to be saved. Folks, God wants to prove to the world what He has done in our lives. And He wants the world to see that it is impossible for man to do what God has done in our lives. No religion, no do-goodery could we ever do. Why? Because we are new creatures in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God has made you and me to be His ambassadors on this earth. And as His ambassadors, we're to live for Him. We're to tell others about that great city that we're going to one day. Listen, this old world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen? And we need to let others know what Christ has done for us. Child of God, let me ask you something this morning. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God, who lives and breathes within you, to do His work both inside and outside of your life today? He wants the world to see something that's real. And listen, the world is looking for proof that God is real. The world is looking for proof. Let me ask you, can they see that proof in your life and in mine? I want them to be able to see it. All that we are today is because God chose to love us. And we need to be reminded of that fact every now and then. I think we need to be reminded that God chose to give unto us His only begotten Son so that we might live for Him and share that message with others. All that God desires now for you and for me is to go forth and show the proof of our salvation to this lost and dying world. He wants the world to know, but He needs you and me to be able to do that. And we've got to choose to do that. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. That's why we have the teen revival going on tonight. That's why we have church service here, so that we can learn to go and take the message to those who need it most. And then maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. God loves you. He gave Himself for you, and He wants you to be saved. What will you do with Christ? Let's bow our heads. And as we bow our heads today, let me ask you this question. Child of God, are you giving God what He expects of you today? Listen, God wants you to choose to love Him even as He chose to love you. Will you love Him today in spirit and in truth? Will you love Him enough today to go out and tell others about Him? Will you love Him so that your family will know that Christ is real in your heart and your life? And then if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your own personal Savior, you've never been born again, I beg you, please, do not pass up this opportunity to be saved. Do not pass up God's love given so that you might have eternal life. Please, today, come to Christ. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because God so loved you. Father, as we give this invitation today, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to hearts. Speak to those that are saved. And help us, Lord, today to determine we're going to love You enough to give You our very best in all that we do. We're not going to be ashamed. We're not going to hide behind a rock somewhere, but we are going to go and share the message of the gospel with those around us so that they too might be saved. And then, Lord, if there's somebody here today that's never trusted You as their Savior, please, oh God, Let them come and come to know you today. Put their faith and trust in you and in you alone today so that they too might have eternal life. And Lord, if you're dealing with folks in any other manner about following you in believer's baptism as a child of God, they've been saved, but Lord, they just need to be obedient to your word. God, let them come today. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that you've been convicting them about coming and joining this church and becoming a part of this ministry. Then, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart and you'll bring them down and let them come today and commit themselves unto you and to the service of the Lord through this local church. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.